Sunday 3:1-26. This is a teaching. It's called Double Speak. James 1:8. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8, while we're there, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We're made in God's image and likeness. God said it was. Eve tempted of the devil. She knew no evil up until that point, until the devil seduced her. She was seduced in her mind. That's the way he does. It's like, I've heard it described before, it's like a rut. It's like he just tries to put a track in your mind, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, just to try to get the word out of you, steal the word from you. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, verse 1, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is just what I was talking about. Introducing things. You know, we've gone in 10 short years from a culture that really didn't embrace homosexuality too much, but from now embracing that, embracing transgender, to the point that now people in schools have to be concerned because teachers are trying to push the transgender on the children without their parents knowing about it. These are these doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing means roving as a tramp, an imposter or misleader. Obsession, persistent and disturbing, this is what obsession is, persistent and disturbing preoccupation with an idea or a feeling. Anything that preoccupies our mind that's not the Word of God in the right way, you need to get that out. We need to get that out. Preoccupation. So that's how the enemy does that. Preoccupation with stuff. We don't need to be preoccupied. We need to be occupying. But the Lord said to me this week, I said occupy till I come, not be occupied till I come. We're the most occupied culture that there is. Okay, 1 Timothy 4, I just read you the first scripture. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This is that body worship we've been looking at for weeks and weeks. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Even now, with all the talk of them poisoning our food for centuries now, we have someone that's come in and he's changing all the food. You know what? That ain't going to do it. It isn't going to make any change. Because people have a corrupt mind. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself further unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. See, these are these obsessions, and these are those, your diet and your exercise, and you just put your whatever, entertainment, whatever the case may be. Having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. See, that's how the enemy would have us to be preoccupied, obsessed. So God didn't get a word in edgewise. Go to Matthew 13. I mean, if we really believe God speaks to us and God will tell us what we need to do, we don't need to obsess about things. You ask Him and then leave it alone. Drop it. He'll answer you when He gets good and ready. Okay, what does he? 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that showed them is the sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it is shall be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear. Let him hear. See, tares among the wheat. That's the way the enemy, he comes to steal the word. Get us off track. We must guard our minds so that Satan does not get access and we begin to speak things that we don't want. Yeah, things we don't want. Philippians chapter 4. You know what? A good gauge would be when you start losing your peace, you know you've got the devil on the other end of it. Whatever you're thinking about, if it brings you down, you know who it is. I told someone that one time because they said they were having these symptoms and fear came. And I just told them, I said, if fear's there, I said, you know who's there? That's the devil. There's no fear in God. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Dias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. See, there's the care bear snare that I'm to talk about so much. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see how the enemy works. He tries to get you off your peace and into fretting about stuff. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It will keep us from giving any place to the devil. Mark shows us that Satan comes to steal the word. The word is what renews our minds to think like God. Think no evil, speak no evil. Think evil, speak evil. As an apostolic team, we must keep our thinking and speaking in line with God's word, for the apostle has that special anointing to cast out demons and pull down strongholds. Because Satan nearly took over the entire world this time, God is restoring the offices of the apostles and prophets to keep it all in line with his will. Prophets get the plan and the apostles build on that plan. God is giving our authority back to keep his kingdom the way he wants it. No more double speaking. Okay, a couple scriptures here. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What usually happens? People go, call 50 people. You know what? All this stuff going on. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. See, the enemy's trying to take mastery by occupying your mind with stupid stuff you can't do anything about anyway. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Like I said, if you lose your peace, you lose your joy, you know who's there. Not rocket science. Occupation with the wrong thing. That's what he does. He brings these things to try to get you off of your peace. If we do not get this right, then how can the Lord deliver us from evil? If we've given our mind to the other master, how can he deliver us from evil? We speak with forked tongue. Double speak. Get all upset over something and go. And we just pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Do we believe it? Guard your words and say what you want. Do not let your saying nullify your praying. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Carnal here, pertaining to the flesh, bodily, temporal, or by implication, animal. I put here Matthew 6:31. Let's see what it says. I know what 6:33 says. Well, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Yep. This tells me we need to be about the Master's business today. Okay. If you're seeking first the kingdom, that's the Master's business, right? Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, 6 and 7. Well, let's just go up to 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And it goes over here, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, those that are led by fleshly, carnal thoughts, who are they led by? All right, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollo? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, your God's husbandry, your God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now I'm not going to go any further on that one. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Starting with verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood was changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, that are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. Not carnal, but spiritual. All right, go over to Hebrews 9. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present in which we offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Okay, the Lord has said 2026 is the year of Reformation. Renewing the mind from carnality is bringing that Reformation. Romans 12:1-2 talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind with its new ideas, its new way of thinking. A renewed mind is focused on God's business. It puts an end to strife. See, people that are graced and placed don't complain because they know they're right where God wants them to be. I talked about that on the broadcast this morning, about finding out where your place is by renewing your mind with the Word of God. When you find that out and you get in that place, that's your happy place. Because there's a lot of disgruntled people in churches, believe me. We've been in plenty of them. It's because they just stuck them somewhere to do something. But you know what? When you find out what God's called you to do and you get in that place, it may not be a bed of roses because of the flack that comes your way because of it, but you know you're in God's will, and that in itself puts you in your happy place. I think that's it. Now I've got a few more. Okay. Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation, verse 1, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what we want. We want to do God's will. Stay out of carnality. Keep our minds right. If you start getting depressed or down, you know who's come around. Start getting obsessive with things, you know who's come around. Okay, 1 Timothy 6. But as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, for the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, envy, and surmisings. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truths, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that are rich will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many arrows. Okay, let's keep going. James chapter 3, 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. But if we have bitter envy and strife in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's where the strong need of teaching comes in. Excuse me. Okay, let's keep going. This is James 4. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We got to keep the devil out. Can't give him any place in our lives. Okay, go to 2 Timothy 2. This is verse 22, starting verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay, I turned back one page. This is 1 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Carnality is sensuality and the indulgence of fleshly desires. Everyone has them, but they must be brought into control by the Spirit so that Satan does not get an advantage over us. Back to obsession or overindulgence. This is an indicator of a thought life needing to be brought under control of the Spirit. And this is what the Lord told me. Jesus told us to occupy till he comes, not be occupied till he comes.